Okay, all set to start.
All right, so obviously we have the committee here. Thank you all. Before we begin the meeting, I'd like to take an attendance. So if we can acknowledge who's on this call, that would be perfect.
Now you got the list?
Yes, do I have Frank Roberts?
Here.
Amos Fatorma?
Here.
Randy Altergott?
Here.
Angel Torres?
I'm here.
Dave Pelagi?
Here.
And who am I? I believe we have one more person. I think that's it, correct?
There'd be Shelly.
Oh, Shelly.
I don't think she's here.
I don't believe she's there. Is there one more committee member that I'm missing? That anyone could think?
Is it Chad?
Chad Farr.
Yeah, he had an appointment apparently, so it wasn't likely for him to be here.
Okay. All right, and we have Daryl Pease on the call, recording, and we have
Hillier?
Brian Sigler. Steve Hillier.
Oh, Steve Hillier.
Steve is
Was
here.
That a yes? I don't think I heard Steve Hillier on the call. All right.
Got Frank.
So Brian Sigler as well as myself. Hi, Ralph.
Okay, Angel, did David Pelagi was on?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Pelagi is on.
So it looks like we've got voting members 1, 2, 4 voting members out of 7. So I guess, Amos, you're going to be voting today.
Okay.
All right, Frank.
All right, so has everyone had a chance to overlook the site survey? Or would anyone like to discuss the site survey?
I agree at this time that we should take it because it's just too much to open anything right now, let alone a brand new facility. That's my two cents.
You know, me and Keith are both hockey fans, and we play hockey, and this is way outside on the western side of the state or whatever, so we wouldn't be interested in that route, but in the sense of our teams not even playing, we do not know the future. You could be closed more than you're open, to reiterate Brandy's point. Take on a new facility at this point, I think it would be a bad idea. So, any other discussion, or should I take it to a vote?
You get to a vote.
All right, so, okay, so does someone want to make a motion to waive the location?
I made a motion to waive the location and retain the vending rights. Are there vending machines? What's that?
Yes, there's vending machines and we will retain the rights.
Okay, then that's my motion to pass in the facility but retain the vending rights.
And we had just one more person join us?
Yes, sorry about that, Shelley.
Okay, Shelley. Okay, Brandy, do you want to repeat that so Shelley hears?
Yep. We're making a motion to pass on the Dorothy Hamill ice skating rink, but to retain the vending rights.
Any second?
I second it. Well, there you go.
Who seconded it?
All in favor?
Who was the second on that?
Aye.
Who was the second?
Aye. Who was the second?
I chimed in, Shelley, but someone else chimed in also, so I'm not sure. Who did you guys take?
Yeah, it was me, Dave Pelagi.
Okay.
Okay, so all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say no. Any abstentions? All right, motion carries.
I believe that Shelley got in ahead of David as the second, so just sort of the minutes reflect.
Yeah, I think by a nose she got in there.
Shelley, okay.
Oh, Carol, you'll just go to Shelley.
Yep, Shelley, okay.
All right. Perfect. I think that completes this survey and this vote. Thank you.
Well, I just wanted to make a quick note in open forum. I've been discussing with Brian about the Pepsi contract and the bottles that we sell, as far as the $2 rebate coming to the operators. As far as the ones we buy and we sell, nothing else. It's still in negotiations. Just note it in the minutes. So, and we'll just leave it there. But it's something that I know we've all wanted in the past. So, it is possibly on the table, and we're working on it.
In regards to the Pepsi contract, do we have any idea when we're going to start getting Pepsi in our places? Or is the vending changed over anywhere, or has anybody changed yet?
Not yet. At the moment, they're actually out there surveying some locations, and Tracy and I are both on call with them weekly in discussion as far as the starting of the transition. But Pepsi is certainly taking great leadership in starting this transition, and I would say probably the next couple of weeks we'll start to see physical machines being moved. But right now it's more an assessment stage to ensure they understand and know where machines need to be replaced, and also gain clearance into areas in which they're required to have prior to any moves.
So as far as the 60-day grace period, you think, I mean, we're already 20 days in. Do you think it's going to be kind of some lenience as to if we go over the 60 days, or?
Okay, so I think the reality is just this from a business standpoint, right? So ultimately, both sides are eager to make money. So I would say if this should go over 60 days, which it could potentially, what could potentially happen, I would have to believe that Coke's not unplugging their machines because they're totally out of the water with the contract. I would have to believe that they would continue to keep their machines in until someone's tapping on the door. In return, I would have to believe Pepsi is going to move as quickly as they possibly can to ensure that they're in a majority of the locations within the 60 days. I think the way Tracy and I have kind of discussed with Pepsi, which obviously makes good business sense, is to focus on the areas in which receive occupancy at the moment. Obviously, we have a ton of state buildings that aren't open, so trying to shift business that makes it lucrative to Pepsi, as they are now the stakeholder, is our number one goal. So if we should go over 60 days, we can only hope that it's in locations in which are still closed and will not financially impact our program.
So when is the 60 days officially over, please? For right now, what date is on the calendar for the 60 days to expire?
I would say September 1. Contract was July.
Okay.
The question that I have and concern I have about this is, so Coke's not going to continue to honor their pricing past a certain point. What is that point, and how, and Pepsi's not giving the pricing yet either, because I still have not gotten my situation organized with them. But so what's going to happen when we're in this lull where we're not under a Coke contract, we're under Pepsi, but Pepsi doesn't have everything in place yet, because they, as far as I understand it, don't even have the pricing in place yet, from what I was told. So what's going to happen to us, to the people that are operating, who are like, you know, yeah, Coke's not going to come grab their stuff, but their prices also going to go up very much. And Pepsi's not giving us the right price yet either. So we're not getting a deal anywhere, potentially, if these contracts overlap, you know, if Pepsi's not in place and Coke's out of the window, like, what's the plan for, again, us operators who are open and operating and kind of stuck paying top dollar for everything while everybody else gets their stuff in order?
For me, I would think the best thing is, before the 60 days, order product as much as you can for the pricing that's in place now, at least for COVID.
But that's not a reasonable idea right now, because potentially I could be shut down any day. Like, with what's going on, personally, this is my feeling, on what's going on around the country and how it's going up, I feel like at any point we could walk backwards, and then I'm going to be stuck with tons of stock, which is what happened to me at the school, and I can't let that happen again.
All right. I would say at the moment, and obviously Tracy has taken lead on this transition, but I will have the discussion with Tracy in regard to your particular concern. But I would also just say this, that I would focus on, obviously, locations that are in operation now to see if we can make these transitions, if it's something possible, to ensure that you are getting the best product price on either side, whether it's Coke or Pepsi. So obviously we've had these discussions in regards to our active locations, and of course that's what Pepsi wants to grab onto immediately. So I think we have to figure out a way, a time, a day, and a period, shall Pepsi be ready to make these transitions in which it won't affect you in particular in your operation. I think what we have to think about here is obviously the business interruption. So this is not going to be something of the transition in which it's literally, you know, Coke pulling up 1 minute and Pepsi pulling right behind with their product. I mean, obviously there's install of equipment, that's a different team. There's, you know, install of product, that's a different team. So we have to think, I would say, in a mind frame of both sides, obviously your side, Brandy, but also in the side of business interruption. You know, seasonal locations really don't have a bad day unless it's weather related. And, you know, it's hard to actually be able to create an install based off of that. So let me touch base with Tracy in regards to your questions, because I don't have the answers at the moment for that, but certainly we are keeping those facilities that are actively open in mind and understand the importance of this transition.
Yes, Sarah, I had a question similar to that, because I talked with Nick and he was telling me that, and Ed just before he left, that the courthouse, all of the courthouses in Connecticut, I think they're going to be closed for time indefinitely. In terms of the cafeteria, you know, they're going to be closed, you know, for time indefinitely. They don't even know when they're going to open, you know. So in regards to those, how do you think in the future we are be able, you know, maybe, suppose the 50 days have passed, you know, when I come, we are be able, I mean, or get equipment installed within my facility and not always things, or we have to do with Coke.
So
this is Ryan. I guess what I would just say is that the most important thing you all can do is stay current with the governor's reopen instructions for restaurants. I think that's the starting point, because it does detail exactly what is allowed and what is not allowed. And then I think it's a conversation with each of your field reps to talk about, so when this place is going to open, and of course we don't know yet when some of these places are going to open, it's very unclear at the moment, but when they open, what is the product that you can count on being able to sell with reasonable frequency, so that you're not having product spoils that goes to waste on the shelves. And Tyrell, I'll let you take it from here, but I just wanted to at least re-emphasize the governor's very clear instructions for food service. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, kind of piggybacking off of Brian's statement, there is a lot of uncertainty at this time. You know, obviously, the key piece being the reopening, right? So I'd say at the time of getting the clearance and feeling as though there's an occupancy that warrants the reopen. Again, I think that's the key that we have to stress on. It's not so much when a building is reopening, but it's when the volume warrants the reopening. So I'd say at that time, depending on where we stand, is kind of will be the decision as far as the products in which you are going to look to sell, Amos. You know, I think also what you might find yourself is having to change up the options in which those items that you're looking to sell to ensure that you're preventing any possible excess waste. You know, as Brandy alluded to, there is a fear of ordering too much during these unknown times. And so certainly we have to err on the side of caution and control all of our expenses, business and merchandise, to ensure that we can sustain in these times. So I would just simply say at this time it's kind of premature to think that far ahead, but it is a good thought process. And then once we have an occupancy that warrants the continuation, we'll definitely double back and figure out what's the best situation for you.
Yeah, Tara, just in line with that, because I was at my facility a couple of days ago just looking at everything. Mm-hmm. I know we previously discussed this with Ed, but I'm just wondering if we start that, like almost everything I have, they're probably going to expire, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like new beginning, you know, instead of funding, you know, in terms of funding, how, is there any idea where we can start brainstorming, you know, how, you know, to start all over?
Yeah, so actually, Brian and I have had some discussions in regards to figuring out a health harmless fund, but that's going to start with each and every operator to take an inventory of lost product, and then have the field rep, you know, look over it and ensure accuracy, and then forward it into the agency. And then what we'll do is we'll assess everybody's location and come up with a dollar amount in which we feel warrants the amount necessary to reopen. So I would say that you certainly will have some, if you want to call it buyer protection, but you will have some reimbursement dollars headed towards your way. But again, we have some steps in place to ensure accuracy before we develop a plan to reissue those dollars for lost products.
I have a question based on that. So, Brian, I know you were investigating. Oh, I'm sorry, this is Shelley. I know that you were looking into any money coming back from the feds. Is that where these funds are coming from, or this is a BEP?
Yeah, let me just add, I've gotten some clarification that I did share with Frank that we will be allowed to open up cases in the vocational rehabilitation program for individuals who are able to achieve gainful employment level. It's basically at least the state minimum wage rate. So for those individuals whose locations at least allow the vendor, the facility manager, to earn at least the state's minimum wage rate, we would be allowed to activate your case in voc rehab. A voc rehab counselor would then get assigned. There'd have to be a decision on eligibility, which only the counselor can make. And then if a person found eligible and the plan, the individualized plan for employment, includes other services necessary to achieve an employment outcome, we would be able to provide funding to replenish the perished inventory so that there'd be a way of having a location reopened without you being penalized for the inventory that got perished through no fault of your own. For those individuals who might not fall into the VR category for whatever reasons, then we would have to use the unassigned non-VR matched dollars from the state vending machine locations in order to achieve the same outcome. But in order to minimize the impact on the BEP budget, which as you all can imagine, you know, we're experiencing the same declines because of the number of vending machines that aren't being frequented because the buildings aren't populated, to the extent that we can utilize voc rehab dollars first for as many folks as that's a possibility, that's certainly the best approach to take to preserve the BEP funds. But I think either way, whichever funding stream we have to tap into, it would still allow the vending facility manager to be held harmless to the extent that the perished inventory can be documented. So I know that in prior committee meetings, we've talked about how important it is to have invoices where you can show, you know, here's the delivery I had of cold cuts and cheeses and things like that that I got from this vendor. Here it is, and it's all perished because I couldn't sell it. You're like, location closed. You can see the date of delivery. It's right on the invoice. And I had to shut down 2 days later, and there went all that product. So that's, you know, we can't just work from a belief. We have to work from documentation. So if you haven't started, like, looking through your invoices to line up what you lost in product, that would probably be a good time to at least start gathering it. I think Tyrell is quite accurate in his statement that, you know, we don't know when these facilities are going to even be in buildings that are reopening. And just because the building has reopened, it doesn't mean you're necessarily going to see population coming back at a level that would support you reopening. And even if you have population, it doesn't necessarily mean that population's going to be comfortable yet purchasing food. So there's so many variables that I think we look at them one by one in each location as a building opens up, and then try to make the best decision that minimizes your risk and minimizes your potential for any additional loss.
But Steve Pelage, I have a question. Nobody's brought this up yet, but the incentive program, is that going to be kind of put aside for now, and does it have to go to the committee to vote on, or how's that going to work or whatever?
Well, I would say the incentive is still in place. Those that have signed up for the incentive and have operations that are open will obviously still be able to participate with the incentive. Those that signed up and their facilities closed abruptly, I would say we would take the figures from that period and calculate based off of that. So I would say incentive is still open. However, it is a matched dollar system. So for any, you know, operator that may have made over the limitation in the first half, then obviously there wouldn't be a match for that second half if you, you know, are continued to be closed throughout the period. But, I mean, if facilities should open second half and you are open, then we would still consider those funds as matched dollars for the incentive. So I'm not, it's not suspended, it's still active.
Okay, and unemployment would be taken into consideration too, right?
No, it would be your earned income from the facility. So
okay,
you,
all
you
right.
Wouldn't, yeah, it's your earned income from facility.
Question. I know second quarter is showing again. Sorry, second quarter is over. I know vending is extremely low, but not, have numbers been calculated and come in yet?
No, not yet.
Yeah, I'm anticipating budget update report from our Fiscal Services Bureau fairly soon. As a matter of fact, I did a follow-up this morning asking for updates. So I'm looking to see what those figures are. The last figures that I saw presented only one full month since COVID hit. So, you know, obviously we did see a decline, but I need to see trending beyond just the 1 month. And then I can certainly report at the next meeting, hopefully, what the budget's looking like.
One other question. Is there a time frame sooner rather than later, or do you guys have a nail down date that you want all the invoices and the numbers in? The concrete deadline, maybe September 1st, or is there a concrete number?
I would say it's going to, I'm not going to put a concrete date, and I'll tell you why, because a lot of operators probably don't have access to their locations at this time, and so obviously, and I mean, some operators keep their invoices with them at home, but many, I think, store them in their location, so I would say, you know, the sooner, and also, you know, people's confidence and fear of wanting to return into these state buildings might be a factor as well. So I think we'd have to kind of take it case by case, but certainly we're going to need that information prior to the talks of reopening to ensure that, you know, we're all in line as far as understanding what a budget for replenishment will look like. So I'm not going to put a time frame on it, and because there are operators that aren't comfortable at the moment going back into their facilities, and again, there's facilities that are closed, so no, it'll be case by case.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
All right.
Anyone else? Any other questions?
All right.
Next meeting date. Sorry. Next meeting date. Shelley, sorry. Next meeting date. Anything scheduled yet or no?
Meeting date on the calendar, I believe, is the annual meeting in September.
September.
Right. Annual.
I did approach Tracy about possibly doing a introduction with Pepsi next month, and possibly their third party, which is Servomation. Would the committee be interested in an introduction to the two companies?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
So we'll. I don't know if we want to. We can't really schedule a date, but we'll schedule something for August.
To piggyback that, Frank, real quick, by then, the introduction, would you assume by then, if they're introducing themselves, we'll have pricing by then? Or could you advocate for that?
Yeah, I think Tracy's going to have you pricing in maybe a week or so. Yeah.
Oh, fairly soon. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
My other question is, how many of our sites are, how many people are actually going to, are open or going to be open? Is there any, like, I know Manchester's interested in opening. I know the beaches are open and the castle's open, and I believe Shelley's open. Like, who else is open or has the potential or is being looked at to possibly open? Just so everybody knows, like, what's going on with everyone else.
Right. Well, I think what you just stated is what's actually set in addition to Frank's facility are those that are open. At this time, I haven't been, no one's reached out inquiring on reopening. It's been more or less stating, and if they have, if buildings have, it's been more or less letting us know that their facility is, you know, now allowing patrons in. However, they're trying to do it in a manner in which eliminate any congregating, so kind of saying like, we're open, however we're not looking for your service at this time. So at this time there is no one other than those that you just mentioned, the seasonal locations, the micro market, and that's it. And that's it. And again, it's kind of, you know, we have to just play close as far as what the governor's plan is, and that's really it. And just keep our ears open as far as any building that comes to us, giving us any building updates. But as of now, it's pretty idle. There isn't any call for on really either side if there's actually an active population to reopen.
I went into my facility today, and I noticed something different. That in the cafeteria, in the seating area, they usually have the bar type tables, the higher tables. Now they removed all the chairs. It's only one chair per table, but obviously the booths are still there, and that's about it. I've got arrows and things that I'm sorry.
I was going to say, seating areas in state buildings are not going to be open. The only
right. It's basically, if you're working, you can sit there by yourself and eat, and that's it.
Right. It really minimizes.
Nobody's really around.
I think the reality is just this. I think the reality is there are a lot of things, yes, reopening around us. However, as a state organization and working under the realm of the governor, he has really put a tight structure on state government operation, and you know, is really still pushing for teleworking at this time. And so when we talk about dates and so forth, there just isn't anything established to give anybody concrete information as to how or when we will resume operations. Those operations that are currently operating, I mean, it's certainly, you all are lucky, you know, and should be thankful, you know, and depending on your profitability, and also understanding that if there is no comfort, you know, if you don't have comfort in operating, you're not required to operate, you know. So I think that's important, but I think we kind of have to, at this time, move away from the date talk, because there just isn't anything concrete that will support that type of conversation. It will be always an unknown until we get further direction from the governor and those that are part of this reopen plan. So right now he's pretty firm on continuing those that are capable of working from home to do so. So you may find that your buildings, or you may even get calls from building management that they're allowing a few people back into the building. Again, that does not warrant an instant reopening. That's more or less, thank you for the update, and certainly you can provide that information to myself, you know, so we can maybe create a dialogue with that building to ensure that, you know, they stay in touch with us as the volume of population increases. Okay, I think that's the way we handle it. We're not, you know, let's not jump and, you know, start ready to put our work clothes on because we get a call that, you know, the building is now allowing a person or a few people in. So right now there's really no date, and it's just not enough information to provide anyone anything with solid air.
Can I waive my right to confidentiality if you feel the need to share what we've learned over the last few days, or if you don't feel it's a need, we can move past it.
I guess what I would just say is that while we may find ourselves taking a conservative approach and, you know, always erring first on the side of safety and caution, what we have recently experienced is that even when we are of the opinion that maybe a facility is okay to reopen after we have learned that there was perhaps a distant connection to a person who may have had a positive COVID test, the facilities themselves aren't necessarily seeing that it's a green light to reopen until they have every possible assurance that there's no exposure to COVID. And what I think our takeaway from that is that we need to have built into any reopen plans what the protocol of the location will be if it is discovered that even a patron who was tested positive for COVID went into that location. So even if it's a micromart or a self-serve, pull a kiosk door open, reach in and grab something, what will be their protocol if they discover, for instance, that one of their employees or a visitor to that location tested positive to COVID? So we want to take this experience and realize that we think there's still a tremendous amount of apprehension out there, and you know, as there should be, in our opinion. We understand that, you know, COVID is very, very serious. But we don't want you getting too far ahead of your product so that you've, let's say, purchased for 2 weeks of product. If their protocol is in that location, that once we discover that somebody may have tested positive for COVID, here's what we're going to do. And that might then leave you without any option other than to lose what population you may have had coming into your location. So we're learning as we go as well, that we think that, you know, sometimes we're being very, very deliberate in our steps forward to be as cautious as we can, but we don't want to underestimate that there are others out there that, you know, are building authorities that may see things even more conservative. So just, I guess, keep that in mind, that what we're looking to do is help guide each of you so that you don't risk product spoilage if something unexpected comes up after a reopen. That do justice to it, Frank?
Yeah, and I think I'd only add is before you get ready to go in, do some research, find out where you can get tested and how fast you can get your results back, because I'm waiting for results. I'll probably get mine tomorrow, but others got results in a day, results in 2 days, so do your research so you don't have to spend 7 days waiting for results where you're in limbo. And let me tell you, the test, it's not comfortable by any means, but it's a piece of cake. Maybe it takes you an hour to wait in line and 10 seconds of discomfort. It's a piece of cake, so don't be afraid of it.
What is our policy? I mean, these are the buildings that we're in, obviously, going to have their own policy. What is our policy as SESB, as DAS, as whatever, as to what if one of our employees tests positive, or us test positive, or has been in contact with, or whatever? I think it says every place has a different protocol for what happens.
We will follow the governor's instructions.
And like our protocol from their protocol, like you know.
Our instructions are in the governor's reopen plan, and I think it's pretty straightforward what we will be required to do if one of your employees comes down with COVID or a positive COVID test. That there will be reporting requirements, and there will probably be, in my view, the need to at least temporarily cease that operation in order to assess the level of contact. The level of contact that person may have exposed others to. And, you know, it's one thing perhaps if a person comes down with it but they haven't been at the location for more than the 14 days, but if they've been at the location within the 14 days and test positive, then I believe building authorities are going to need to be notified, and decisions have to be made around tracing backwards who that person came in contact with and what are the potential risks. And again, that's why we don't want food to be ordered in a quantity that puts you at risk of seeing perished products while people are potentially waiting out a quarantine period or working backwards from the trace contact to see whom that person may have been in interactions with. So, and what we learned in this most recent example is even when we are of the opinion that we have a green light to proceed, the building location did not necessarily agree. And so they got the call, the decision, which was we're not going to reopen this location until we're absolutely certain that there's, you know, a period that has gone by and assurances have been achieved. But we will follow what the governor's instructions are, and the governor, you know, basically has put Department of Administrative Services and the Office of Labor Relations in a very lead role when it comes to state-owned and state-leased properties. But we're also not just dealing with state properties. We're also dealing with, in some cases, federal locations. So, you know, we need to be cognizant of whatever rules the authority in charge of that location wish to impose. We need to be prepared with that, which is why, again, we're saying we be open. We want to know what will their protocols be. We want to build that into the reopen plan.
So as it stands, we honor what the governor has said, and then on top of that, whatever extras that the building that we're in may also have in place to keep their employees safe. So if the building in place says, you're shut down for 30 days, then we're shut down for 30 days. No, and it's a bus.
Yeah, because that's the building authority. That's the authority in charge of the location. Yeah.
Which makes complete sense. I just wanted to make the, you know, clarify.
All right, if there's nothing else, I'll call for a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Who seconded that?
Dave.
Dave?
Okay. Dave Pelagi.
Okay.
So all in favor say aye.
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 All right, thank you so much for calling in, everybody.
Okay. Yeah, take care, everybody. Stay safe.
All right. Bye.